Welcome to Finding Contentment, the official podcast of the American Institute of Stress. The goal of this podcast is to explore the science, psychology, and practical wisdom that can help us manage our stress. If you are looking for personal growth and professional success, or just want a more fulfilling life, visit us at stress.org. And now here is the host and executive director of the American Institute of Stress, Will Heckman.
Greetings, everyone. This is your host and executive director for the American Institute of Stress. It's Will Heckman. Thank you for joining us once again. Hey, please remember to visit us and subscribe to our free magazines. Just go to stress.org. And then, if you want, send in those reviews, send in comments. And if you're watching us on YouTube, I'm going to ask you, please hit the like button. Make sure you subscribe below. It helps promote the channel, and we really appreciate it. You know, our guest today wrote on her website, "People believe we can think our way out of stress, but stress originates below the skull, and body-based tools are key to managing anxiety. It is essential that you recognize when your stress responses are helpful and when your reactions aren't serving you. Learn to listen to your body so you can reap the benefits of stress while minimizing its negative effects and regain the sense of calm, ease, and openness that you were looking for." Joining us today is Chantel Donnelly. She is a physical therapist and the author of the Amazon best-selling book, Settled: How to Find Calm in a Stress-Inducing World. And she's also the owner of Body Insight, a wellness company designed to help people reconnect with their bodies and improve their health. And she combines her anatomy and physiology knowledge and experience with nervous system science to help people with chronic pain, overwhelming stress, and other stress-related illnesses. And through videos and workshops and her book, Chantel teaches body-focused tools for calming the nervous system. And she believes that stress fluency can make the world a better place. So do I. She is, again, the author of Settled: How to Find Calm in a Stress-Inducing World, which, of course, can be found, like everything else, on Amazon. Also, make sure you visit her website. It's called bodyinsight.com. And please join me in welcoming Chantel. Thank you, Chantel, for joining us today. I really appreciate you being here. I got a lot of questions for you.
I got some answers, I hope.
Good, because I love physical therapists. We were discussing before. I've been to physical therapy. It's a very stressful time in your life when you have to go see a physical therapist. You're in pain, and that in itself causes immense amounts of stress. But there are also other things you may be dealing with, whether a car accident, a sports injury, is all kinds of things. But the first thing I really wanted to ask you is about your journey. You studied psychology, if I'm correct, and then became a physical therapist. Can you tell us how you got interested in stress and its effects on people?
Yeah, the simple answer as to how I led down that path is frustration. I was working with my patients in my clinic and they were getting better, but they would leave the clinic and inevitably have stress in their lives. And it didn't matter whether it was a stressful job, a stressful relationship, maybe they had sick children or sick parents they were managing and helping, financial problems. It didn't matter what the stressor was. But what happened is that all the healing that they would do in physical therapy would unwind and the inflammation and the pain would come back because of the stress.
Yep.
So that was my frustration, was really not being able to help my patients completely. And that's how I started getting into the science of stress and really researching it and trying to figure out, okay, as a physical therapist, what can I do to help my patients with stress? Or do I need to go back to my psychology, get a PhD in psychology maybe, and attack it from there? And what I found is that indeed my anatomy and physiology and physical therapy experience were the perfect foundation for helping people with stress.
It sounds like you combined a lot of things and sort of hit the nail on the head. You know, it's a combination of those things, and I'm so happy that you found your way to helping people with their stress, because some of that stress that people feel at the time when you see them might be acute because they just had an accident or something, but it turns into chronic stress because all of a sudden, as you mentioned, they have financial worries and family responsibilities. And that turns into your chronic stress. And I want to ask you about that, because even if they're not injured, we see people, obviously AIS talk to a lot of people who are going through a lot of stress-related issues. Some of them are chronic. And I wanted to ask you, have you seen that chronic stress impact people's physical health? And can you help it with PT?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, stress in the body, the chemical reaction that occurs when we're under stress, initially is very helpful. It helps us focus, it boosts the immune system, and it's, you know, our survival adaptation. It's good for us. Unfortunately, in our modern society, we either have one of two things. We either have ongoing stress. So let's go back to that financial piece. That's not just a stressor that happens one day. That's a stressor that happens over months and sometimes years, that you're dealing with bills you can't pay, et cetera, right? So that stress is ongoing. And that prolonged stress can cause a chronic stress, right? And so, and I'm going to go back to the other point, is that if you don't have a stress that's ongoing, like a financial stress, as that my example, sometimes what happens is the stress goes away or diminishes. But as humans, we get stuck in a stress response. So those are the two things that can happen in our modern world, is either we get stuck or the stress is just ongoing and it never lets up. Okay. So what happens is you go from stress being helpful, where it was boosting your immune system and helping you focus and helping you motivate to action, to something called allostatic load. An allostatic load is when those chemicals being released in your body by stress now turn on the body. Hmm. So instead of boosting your immune system, they become inflammatory and actually dampen the immune system now. So you've got inflammation, you've got a dampened immune system. This is where we have sleep problems. This is where we have digestion issues. You're going to have sugar regulation problems. And this is sort of the beginning, right? Blood pressure issues. I mentioned inflammation already. So all of that can now lead to things like cardiovascular disease, diabetes, dementia, autoimmune disorders, and chronic pain, right?
Yeah, it's so on, right on that you're saying that, because we see that happen. The manifestations of chronic stress are exactly those things. And that's what we're trying to avoid, right? We're trying to avoid them becoming a diagnosable problem.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's where this nervous system regulation piece comes in. Now, as a physical therapist, I can address the chronic pain, obviously, right? And when we are under stress, our muscles become very tense. And that can be a precursor to the chronic pain, or it could be an injury that then leads to pain, that then leads to stress in your life because of the pain. You can't work. Your mood is soured, so your relationships suffer. There's all sorts of sort of cascades that happen when people are injured for a while. And so I can help people deal with that piece, but I can also help them deal with the stress piece. And, you know, by targeting both, what I found in my clinic is that the healing is more complete and long lasting.
But that's awesome. I was going to ask you, you know, what can you do? I mean, I know, if I'm not mistaken, you also studied massage therapy.
I did.
And I've talked to massage therapists and physical therapists, and they talk about working on those kinds of things, those kinds of problems to help relieve people's stress. When you put your hands on somebody and work with their injury and their pain and their stuff like that, even if you can't, I mean, you can't obviously help their financial problems or the problems they have, but lessening the stress that they're feeling while you're with them maybe balances it out a little bit.
So, well, I think when you manage the stress, you can't target the stressors, like you said, right? But if you can manage the stress, you actually widen their window of tolerance, as Dan Siegel calls it. So I call it your settled section. You broaden your settled section. And what that means is that you have more bandwidth and the cognitive capacity to now deal with the financial stuff. It's not so emotional, and you can think logically, okay, what do I need to do to get myself out of this situation? That doesn't mean it's a miracle cure and your financial problems are going to melt away, unfortunately, but it means that you feel like you can handle it a little bit more instead of the stress of it all handling you.
All right. So let me ask you, so from a physical therapist point of view, okay, you have a patient, you're dealing with whatever their particular problem is. I mean, I've had everything from shoulders to down to my toes. And physical therapists have helped me immensely with all kinds of things. But what are some effective techniques? Are there exercises or tension relievers that you can teach people as a physical therapist that maybe can promote their relaxation? If they're experiencing these high levels of stress that they can do?
Yeah, absolutely. Please, yeah, and I can give you some specifics. we tackle stress, and not all physical therapists do this. It's sort of a new field for us. You know, there's the top-down approach to dealing with stress, and that's more of a cognitive approach. So that's the meditation and the psychotherapy, CBT, stress mindset type things, right? Those are the things that I am not qualified to do. And so I come at stress from the body up approach, right? So there's top down and there's body up. And I like to think that both of those two approaches meet at the heart. We can't get rid of either approach. Mm-hmm. We need both. And so the body up approach as a physical therapist, you know, first we deal with the muscle imbalances and the injury and the inflammation, right? So we're going to deal with all of that traditional physical therapy stuff. And then if stress is really impacting recovery, what we can do is multifaceted, really. It's not just a specific technique, but you mentioned touch earlier with the massage therapy piece. And I'm a very much a hands-on physical therapist. And not all physical therapists are, but I do a lot of manual therapy, it's called. What touch does for people, and this has actually been shown in the research, is that it increases something called interoception. And interoception is a big fancy word for having a sense of what is happening internally in your body. Okay. And this is becoming a really big topic in neuroscience, this interoception piece, because it has been correlated with increased resilience, among other wonderful things. Okay. So what I do with touch is I help people become more fluent in their body. I like to think of myself as sort of a body spokesperson. I'm trying to bring the body back because we're such a brainy society. We really like to use our mind for everything. And indeed, that's helpful. But we're missing this body piece. And stress really does live in the body. It's a body reaction first, and then our thoughts take over. Mm-hmm. So it's really important to be able to speak your body's language, understand what your body is saying to you. And touch can really help with that. The other thing that helps with that, that physical therapists do, is movement. Mm. Right? So any kind of movement that you do is going to bring you back into your body. And you may have dissociated from your body for a very good reason. If there's pain, you may have dissociated from your body. If there's stress, we try to escape. We try to numb our stress. And unfortunately, the key to managing stress is to actually get back into your body so that you can figure out where the stress is in your body. Are you stressed? Why are you stressed? Is it helping you or is it harming you, right? So that's what I help people with initially. That's the first piece for physical therapists is let's get you back in your body a little bit, maybe not completely if that's too much for you, using touch, using movement, using something called proprioception, which is your body's sense of where you are in space. Those are the types of things that we start with in physical therapy. And oftentimes we don't even know that we're helping people in this way, but we are.
I agree with you. I always thought there should be, it's a combination of things. It's, you know, when you're talking about any kind of stress management, you have to address your body. You have to do certain things with your body. There's a physicality to it. And yes, we live in our minds and we're our own worst enemies because of that inner dialogue is, you know, the statistics is we have 70,000 thoughts a day and 85% of them are negative. But if you're feeling good physically, the chances that you feel good mentally have to increase exponentially. So I agree with you. I think, you know, if you talk to somebody who works out regularly, who exercises regularly, even if it's just walking, they tend to feel better and have less stress. So there's a mind-body connection is absolutely, you can't argue with it. You know, you talked about something, I just want to touch on it for a minute because it's a big topic. And I know that people in pain and firsthand have other problems related to the stress that's called. One of them is sleep. Mm-hmm. And their sleep quality. And you touched on that for a second. I want to ask you, do you ever address as a physical therapist, you know, people not sleeping well? But because if you don't sleep well, you can't heal.
Yeah. Yeah. We address sleep indirectly. So if you are in pain, you can't sleep. If you are hypervigilant in survival mode, you can't sleep. Mm-hmm. So by addressing chronic pain through chronic pain education, which is very important because chronic pain, we now know, is when the body has healed, but the brain didn't get the message. The brain is still thinking that there is pain and telling you that there is pain, but the tissues have healed. That's the definition of chronic pain. So giving people that information and letting them know that even though they're feeling pain, there's no harm happening right now.
Oh, okay.
That can be very settling to a person, and that can help them sleep, just that information alone. And then there's ways to rewire the brain to let it understand that, oh no, the tissue and the nerves and everything have healed. And so that's where we start. We start by giving chronic pain education to let people know how chronic pain works and how they can manage it a little bit better. Because it's that, oh my God, I've hurt myself. I've flared myself up. I'm now re-injured. Do I need another surgery? What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to my finances, my family? That, all of that thinking is creating more pain and more stress. And those two kind of compound each other, right? You got pain, you got stress, the stress causes more pain, the pain causes more stress. And it's this, we have to break that cycle.
You know, I was thinking, just coming to a physical therapist, and I've been there, and with the biggest worry, whether I was rehabbing a knee or a shoulder or something, is it going to be back the way it was? Mm-hmm. And listening to the physical therapist say, you're going to be okay. We're going to get you there. Do you feel better at the end of the session than you did at the beginning? Those kinds of things are the kinds of things that help me sleep better. Because, you know, you physical therapists and people that treat your pain give you hope that you're going to be okay. You know, and you know, I like I said, I can't thank the the PTs I've worked with enough.
I'm glad you're a PT fan, Will.
I am, because it really did help. And another thing that helped, and you could talk about this better than I can, but they showed me what to do so I don't get that injury again, an exercise, a stretch, or something like that. Do you find yourself, you know, saying, okay, you're stressed out about this injury, thinking now you're going to be prone to this injury, and talk people in a way that makes them feel better about that? That's not necessarily, let me show you an exercise to help. You know, when I hurt my shoulder, one of the things they did was give me those surgical bands to help the stretch. And I continued to do that when my physical therapy sessions were over. And it did. It helped me not pop out my shoulder again for at least 6 months. That's a whole nother problem. But my knee never, when I rehabbed my knee, they showed me what to do. Physical therapist showed me what to do, and it never got hurt again.
Yeah, that's the goal, right? It doesn't always work, but that's a goal. And it sounds like you're a good patient. You do your home program. So thank you for that. Well,
I'm coachable. I've learned to listen because I got tired of being in pain. All right, let me ask you something else. I think you, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you speak to a little about breathing and respiratory techniques that PTs use or you yourself have used. I'm a big believer in breathing to reduce stress. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about that. Tell us how that contributes to overall well-being.
Yeah, so breathing is a bottom-up approach to stress, right? So we're managing our body's internal function with breathing, and we have conscious control over how we change our breathing. So if you think about when you're tense, when you are distressed, your breathing becomes very shallow. And what I see with my patients is they tense up their spine. And this is, again, a survival mechanism. You don't move, right? If there's something in the bush making noise, you stop what you're doing. You don't breathe very heavily, right? Your breathing becomes very shallow and everything tenses up. The chest, the spine, the rib cage, everything is tensing up, right? So what happens in that tensed breathing is that our breathing moves up to our chest and our neck. And as humans, again, we can kind of get stuck in a stress response. And what I see with patients is that they breathe all day long from their chest and their neck. Now, there are muscles in your neck that actually help you with breathing. And that is adaptive for fight or flight. They call them accessory breathing muscles, meaning they're supposed to move your neck, but in an emergency, they will kick in for breathing. So it's no wonder that I see so many people with tight neck muscles and neck pain and headaches related to stress, because they are in fight or flight. So these neck muscles are constantly on. They're called your scalene muscles, by the way. They're on both sides of the throat. So what we know is that chest and neck breathing puts you into a fight or flight stress response. We know that if you can get your breathing down into your belly and your lower rib cage, that's going to help you get out of that stress response. So what I teach, the very first thing I do with breathing is I get people out of their neck. That's the first thing. That's not always simple. It's not always like, oh, stop breathing from your neck and breathe from your belly. It doesn't, sometimes that people just can't physically do that right away. Takes some practice, and it also takes loosening up those tense muscles that are getting tight because of the stress, right? And if you think about how sedentary we are as a society, we sit a lot. And so that adds to that tension in our spine, that stiffness. And of course, in our middle back, our rib cage, which helps us breathe, gets stiff as well. So when you open up your rib cage, that's when the lungs open up for you to take a nice healthy breath, which is going to help you relax. But if your rib cage is so stiff, you're not going to be able to get that relaxing breath, right? So I tend to focus on, can people use breathing properly to find that parasympathetic response that we're looking for? And oftentimes my patients, you know, of course I'm seeing people with neck pain. So they're, I'm seeing a high population with the stiff rib cage and the stiff back, but really with our sitting, a lot of people are there. And so I help people mobilize, learn how to mobilize their spine and their rib cage, which literally takes 30 seconds. It's a very simple exercise. And then I check to see if their hip flexors, which attach, one of the hip flexors attaches to your diaphragm, make sure that's not overly tight. So now we can get your breathing down into the belly and the lower rib cage once we get that moving and released. So that's where I start. Then I teach people that when we inhale, our heart rate goes up a little bit. And when we exhale, our heart rate goes down a little bit. And so we can make use of that by lengthening the exhalation to slow the heart rate down. So when we were talking about a body up approach, I really believe that if you settle the body, you can settle your thoughts. So if you can settle the body by slowing the heart rate down, that sends a message up to the brain that says, we're okay. We are not under stress. And then the brain stops all of those ricocheting thoughts of negativity and worry.
That makes sense. I mean, in martial arts, we did breathing exercises. The exhale was so elongated. People call it a kia. You ever hear a martial artist scream, yeah, you know? Well, that's part of that breathing exercises. And this is the way it was pointed out to me. You were right on. People that are breathing from their chest and neck, you can spot them a mile away. Just they breathe with their shoulders. You see that shoulder rise. Look at a baby. All you see is the belly rise. So there's a technique that I've learned recently that you put your hands on your stomach and you breathe, but you try to make your belly as fat as you can. They call it fat belly technique. This guy told me, and he said, even, you know, anyone can do it. You lay on your back and you breathe and you make that belly as big as you can. Then you slowly exhale. So you're concentrating, you're focusing on your belly. Breathing. So you were right on. That's exactly what we need to do. We all need to do that. I love breathing techniques for a bunch of reasons. One, it's free. Two, it's always with you. You don't need any special equipment. You can always do it throughout the day. So I think that's a great, great answer. And I hope more people pay attention to it. I have to ask you something. You know, you work as a physical therapist, which is I don't know. It that's a job that could take over your life. The other one is like educator, and I was one. And so being a physical therapist is a full-time, oh my God, this patient needs me kind of job. Why'd you stop and write a book? I mean, what motivated you to write your book?
No one was talking about the information that I was getting, and no one was talking about the information that was helping me and helping my patients. And I felt like it was a way to get the information out en masse. The other reason I wrote it is because the world is becoming more and more difficult. And
I've noticed.
Right. And what happens is calm is contagious. So if I'm interacting with you in a place of settled nervous system, that's going to help you settle your nervous system. So when you, let's say we're work colleagues and we're interacting in a nice, settled, calm, relaxed way, that's going to branch out so that when you go home, you're more settled to deal with your children and your spouse, right? And so there's this ripple effect out into the world one nervous system that is settled affecting another nervous system that is settled. We call that co-regulation. And if I co-regulate with you and you pick up on my calm sense, you're going to send that out into the world to somebody else. And then they're going to send that out in the world to somebody else. And we're going to have eventually just a slightly better world.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
And the information in the book is great. People, like I said, go to Amazon.com and pick it up. I mean, you don't know what you don't know. those guys out there, you're watching this and you're thinking, I'm so stressed out. It's just the way it is. No, it really is not. It's not the I have friends who are, you know, when they know who I am, or obviously what I do, and they talk about stress and they go, oh, well, I'm just stressed. And they accept it. Why? Why would you accept if you had, you know, anxiety problems? You know, there's no reason to. There's great information out there, like Chantel's. Okay, in 2019, you were certified as a resilience toolkit facilitator. That's a mouthful. I got to know what that is and a little bit about that.
So that is a program. I took their basic course. It's a 3-day class. Back in, let's say it was 2016 or 17, and was so taken by the information that was given. And what it is, it's so I was so taken that I basically ended up getting certified, which is much longer than a 3-day course. It's a 2-year course. And what it is it's a woman named Nkem Ndefo who created this resilience toolkit. And she started out as a nurse and a midwife and realized how much stress was affecting her patients and started looking for answers, just like I did. And she curated these body-based somatic tools and teaches them. And I was blown away by these tools. And that was my first introduction really to these body-based tools. I had already been studying stress, but I hadn't really come upon what she was teaching yet. And what I really love about her work, and you really learn this in depth when you get certified, and they're on, I think, their 15th cohort now of certifying people in the Resilience Toolkit. She's got probably people doing this in 10 different countries, so it's not just in the US. What I really loved about her work is that she created a framework for really sort of figuring out, should you do a tool? Should you not do a tool? How do you know? How do you know if you're stressed? And how do you know if a tool helped you, right? So like when we were talking about breathing, not everybody benefits from breathing. Some people, it's a small percentage, but some people actually get more stressed, more anxious when they do breathing techniques. And that may have something to do with that neck breathing that I was talking about earlier. And they may not know that they're doing all of their breathing from their neck and chest. Or it's just that breathing is not the right tool for them. There's nothing. And what happens is people start to feel like almost shame, like what's wrong with me? Everybody else does well with breathing and it makes me feel worse, or they don't realize that it's making them feel worse and they keep doing it. So what I love about the framework of the Resilience Toolkit is it unpacks all of that and really has you trying to discern, is this tool helping me? And first off, did I need to do a tool in the first place? So she has these things called guiding questions, and I talk about them in the book. I got permission from her to put them in the book, and I'm really grateful to her for that. So the guiding questions are, am I stressed? How do I know? And most people, when you ask them, how do you know that you're stressed, will start rattling off their stressors, right? I have a deadline at work. I got stuck in traffic and was late today. My child is homesick and I don't have healthcare, whatever it is. those are the stressors. And those are the things that we can't always do something about. How do you know you're stressed in your body is really and truly what that question is asking. Is your jaw tight? Is there tension in your stomach? Are you having digestion problems, maybe constipation or diarrhea? Do you have a migraine? Did you not sleep well last night? What is your body telling you? Is your heart rate up? Right? Do you feel like you're breathing from your chest? Do you feel a tightness in your chest? All of those types of things are clues that you are having a stress response. And that's that body fluency that I was talking about. So the first guiding question is really asking you, where in your body is your stress? And then the next guiding question is that stress helping you? Right? So going back to stress can be helpful. So in this situation, and the example I always give is, and it's a really extreme example, but it helps people understand. If you are in an abusive relationship, don't use a tool. Your stress is helping you. Your stress is trying to protect you. You don't want to relax. Yeah. You don't want to calm down in that situation, right? So, and that's an extreme example, but there are lots of other examples. If your child needs to get to the emergency room because they've broken their arm, you need a little bit of adrenaline to get you there and to stay focused on task at hand, right? So there are times when stress is helpful. So that's that question that you ask yourself. Not always an easy thing to answer, but the more you do this, the easier it gets to answer, the better you get at answering it. Is my stress helping me in this moment? Most of the time.
And what you said before about, you know, I'm stressed out because I have a deadline. Well, if you weren't stressed out, you might miss that deadline. And then you get fired, and then you get, you know, so you're absolutely right. We need stress to be productive.
Yes.
We need stress to be happy. The stress, you know, you and I go to I'm in Florida, and we go to Disney World like I do with my wife, and they go on those roller coasters. There's different kinds of stress between the two of us. She has the stress where, oh my God, I'm so excited. And I have the stress where, hell no, I'm not going on it. So, you know, stress is an enjoyable thing. We need it in our lives. I wonder sometimes, because, you know, Dr. Dan Kirsch and I have talked about this. He's the president of AIS. You know, we have a stress epidemic. But do we have a stress epidemic, or do we have a lack of resilience epidemic? Do we have not the ability to handle and bounce back from it?
I think it's both. I think our society is leading to more stress. But I also think that we are stuck in stress responses. And so, you know, going back to the example of the deadline, yes, you need some adrenaline to keep you focused to get through that deadline. If the adrenaline and the cortisol release is too much for that situation, you won't be able to think clearly enough to get the work done that you need to get done to get to that deadline. Yep. And so that's that, am I stressed for a reason? Is it an appropriate stress? So those types of questions, oh, I'm too stressed. This deadline's been going on for a month. Maybe it's even just a week. But the stress has become so overwhelming to me that I am now shutting down instead of being productive and getting the job done. That's when you know that, oh, it's no longer helping me. I can do a tool.
Right.
I can choose. And so then you start to play detective as to what tools are good for you. Is it breathing? Is it vagus nerve stimulation? And we can talk about what that is later. Is it going for a walk? Is it reaching out to a friend? There's all sorts of approaches that are body up that can help bring you down enough so that you can now think clearly and focus to get to the deadline successfully.
And a lot of it is perception. You know, like I said, we're our own worst enemies. My daughter is a very gifted student. That's great. I'm bragging a little, but it's also a double-edged sword. Because, you know, those kids get very stressed out about tests and things like that, because not because they want to pass. They have to get 100. You know, it's like, and I would explain, no, don't be stressed out. This is a chance for you to show off. It's all perception. And so we've had long discussions about that. We no longer have to. She's old enough to take care of herself. Okay, so we're running out of time, but I want to ask you one last question. I asked it to all our guests, and it's I want to ask you, Chantel, what is your personal go-to for stress relief? Everyone has something that they do, or I hope they do. What is your go-to?
So one thing we didn't get into is talking to our vagus nerve. And our vagus nerve is our main branch of the parasympathetic nervous system, that calming nervous system. And people talk a lot about the vagus nerve. What they don't really talk about is that there are four other cranial nerves that associate with the vagus nerve that are really easy to address via the muscles and joints that those nerves feed and activate. So what am I talking about? So there's a cranial nerve called your accessory cranial nerve, and it feeds muscles in your neck and your upper traps, all of your traps actually, but the upper traps are here, those muscles that allow you to raise your shoulders. And it feeds a muscle in your neck called your sternocleidomastoid, which allows you to turn your head. If I massage these muscles, I'm actually communicating via the accessory nerve to the vagus nerve. And I am telling my body that I am going into, I would like to go into a relaxation response. So one of my go-tos is actually doing some self-massage on the sternocleidomastoid. So it starts right behind the ear. And all I do is I just rake down to my collarbone, to right where my collarbone and my throat kind of meet up. So just raking my sternocleidomastoid is a way to talk to my vagus nerve and say, I would like to calm down right now. And that's what I do. That's one of the tools I like to use on a regular basis for myself.
That's awesome. It's not only is it a great answer, but it's something new, you know, that I have not heard before. And if you're out there, give it a try.
There's probably 30 tools in my book that I'm guessing most of your listeners haven't heard about. These are new. And that's, again, why I wrote the book. These are very novel to a lot of people.
And that's what I was going to say. If you want to know more of tools, tough, go buy the book. Hey, you know, we can't tell you everything in the short amount of time we have today. Chantel, I really want to thank you for the information you gave us today. I've learned new stuff, and I'm going to try the neck massage thing because I do feel sometimes the muscles in my neck getting tense when I get stressed.
Oh yeah.
So I
would say if people don't want to read my book or can't read it right now, one thing they can do is go to Instagram and follow me on Body Insight Inc. Body Insight is my company. So Body Insight Inc. And there's tons of videos there with tools. Awesome. That, yeah.
That's very generous of you. Thank you. Buy the book anyway. Yeah. But go to Instagram. Excuse me. Follow Chantel. Find out what you don't know. And like I always tell you, if you're going through a really bad time now because of stress, and look at all the answers that there are. There are so many tools and techniques you can use. And I want to thank Chantel for joining us today. And as always, I want to remind everybody that just as stress is different for each of us, there is no one stress reduction management strategy or tool that is right for everyone. So that means you need to join us next time because we're going to talk about and explore more stress management strategies. So on behalf of Chantel and myself, I hope you learned a lot today and I hope you find contentment. Good day, everybody.